Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord and thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. This is our Wednesday midweek service. You're tuned into Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, Spiritual Growth and Development. We're so glad you joined us at Blog Talk Radio so that we might together sit, worship, fellowship, pray and praise the Lord and see what He will say to us today. He prepares us for those things that are ahead of us. I would like to read to you words of encouragement for today. And those words include, these are the words of God to His church. Do not despise suffering. It reminds you that you are on a pilgrimage to a far better place. I do not provide some pleasures. I do provide some pleasures and comforts along the way, but they are temporary. When you reach your final destination, your home in heaven, I will shower you with pleasures forevermore. In that glorious place, there will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. The fullness of joy you experience there will be permanent and never ending. Because you are my treasured followers, I can promise that your suffering will come to an end someday. Therefore, try to view your trouble as momentary and light, producing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure and surpassing all comparison. While you continue your journey through this world, be thankful for the comforts and pleasures I bless you with and reach out to others who are suffering. I comfort you. I comfort you in your suffering. Help the hurting people and give meaning, that gives meaning to your suffering, and glorify me. This is coming from the spiritual, biblical lesson in Psalms 16 and 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then in Revelation 21 and 4, you will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For all the old order of things have passed away. We have a hope in glory. We have a hope in the Word of God and in the promises that He has given to us. We have to lay hold of these promises and of this hope and let it transform our thinking, our attitude, our perspective in life. And then in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, he says, For our light, momentary afflictions, this slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for you an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparison and all calculation, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. And so he shares with us, and even though we may think this is not a light or a momentary thing, but he wants us to get a God's eye view and the perspective. It is a momentary thing. But our time here is but a drop in the ocean compared to the eternity that is in us now, because it is the hope of his calling that we will live with him forever. And so we want to change our, allow his word to transform our thinking and our mindset so that we might be able to give him glory even in the time of trouble, in the time of our suffering, and in the time of frustration, in the midst of our circumstances and our struggles, our challenges, and our traumatic experiences, we have the Lord and the hope of glory and his promises that we are standing on. Amen? Amen. And so as we come together, we want to make sure that our minds are, and we say our minds are stayed on God. But he says, he keeps mind in perfect peace, who mind is stayed on him. And then he tells us how to do that. And so we just wanted to share with you those words of encouragement and just a reminder of where we are headed. Now, we are here this evening, and our own ambassadorial prophet is going to share with us. We have a lot of announcements that we'll give at the end of the session when more people have come on, because a lot of things are going on, and we want to be able to be to receive what God has for us. He's preparing many tables of blessings and of feasts for our spirit so that we may grow and develop spiritually. Prophet?
Yes, and good evening, Blog Talk. Good evening, LFC family. Thank you, Overseer, for those powerful words of encouragement and a continued place of confirmation and affirmation, knowing that according to Henry Maccabee, God is always at work, and he is constantly speaking to us to reveal the power of his will, to reveal the person of who he is, and to continue to cause us to develop an intimate, a vertical relationship with him, and then that horizontal relationship with each other. I'm excited about God's power and presence through the ministry of Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, AEN, and then each individual that brings such a powerful gift and calling to this community. One of the things that we used to say quite often was, we are a ministry on the move with the move of God, and I do pray that that will reign in your spirit again, and you understand that you are very much a part of that move of God. We're not waiting for God to move. He has already connected us as a divine move. We are in sync with the frequencies of heaven, even when it doesn't feel like it. To remind you of the prophetic word that God gave us, we are in prophetic transition, and in spite of the uncomfortability, in spite of what you feel, know that you are moving. God has your prophetic zip code. He is on your street. He is visiting you, and greater is definitely ahead of us. And it is something for us to be excited about, that we have to continue to remind ourselves that we are momentum, we are in a place of maturation, we are in a place of manifestation, and we walk in miracles, amen, and we are believing God for even more tangible miracles that we will see among us. Joshua 21:43-45 says this: "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Labors for Christ was left unfilled. everything he had spoken came true. Amen. So do me a favor real quick. Everybody take their phone off mute, and let's just release a praise in each other's house. Amen. Maybe there's something about the praise you're going to release at this moment in my house that I need, and maybe the praise that I'm going to release in this moment is needed in your house. But we definitely, as a body of Christ, we stand on Joshua 21. The Lord is going to give laborers of Christ all the land he has sworn to give us, and we will take possession of it, and we will settle there. And the Lord will give us rest on every side, and just as he has solemnly promised our ancestors, our apostles, and those before you, none of our enemies can stand against us, for the Lord will help us conquer all our enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of laborers of Christ was left unfulfilled, and everything he spoke came true. Amen. So come on, let's just release a praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we give you all praise and glory and honor.
Lord,
we magnify
you.
That
you are
every promise you spoke
glory
concerning
God.
Us,
thank
Father,
you for being the light in
the
darkness.
We bless
you.
We thank
you.
We worship you.
Hallelujah.
We magnify
thank you for
you.
Healing
you
and delivering,
awesome and
teaching and correcting.
God. We
thank
believe
you, God.
Every
thank
promise
you, God.
That you have
thank
spoke
you,
concerning our life, our destiny, and our purpose. We thank you for things that are shifting in our atmosphere, that which is turning around on our behalf. We decree and declare Joshua 21 over our community and over our family. Not one thing will be left unfulfilled. Every word that you spoke will come true. And we believe that, and we thank you for that today. We declare that, we release that, we believe that, we conceive that, and we stand on that promise. We bind every enemy. We come against every lie. We rebuke every devourer that will come to steal, will come to tempt to destroy the word that you have spoken. We declare we will be soil that seed can fall on and not just produce 30, not produce 60, not produce 90, but only at the minimum produce 100 with the maximum of 1,000 times more as you have promised. And we thank you and we praise you for that. We embrace this exciting time of prophetic transition. We embrace this exciting time of you pouring new wine in us. We embrace this exciting time of you shedding, breaking off old wineskins so that we can be containers of your power, containers of your glory, containers of your presence, containers of your promise. And we honor that in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are El Tabora. You fight on our behalf. You do not lose. You do not bow down at a fight. You don't know how to lose. You are the Almighty God. All hosts back you up, and we thank you and we praise you for it and we honor you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So I am excited. I'm going to basically be listening. I hear that we have some life assignments that I'm sure many of you are ready to share with us and release the download that God has given you on this week as we continue to look at those particular scriptures you were given and relate them to the seven mountains. And I want to just, you know, I know that you may, if you're around laborers of Christ, you may hear us talk about it a lot. And so it's like, well, what do some of it really mean? And I know a lot of us do know, but just to give a quick recap and even understand the importance of it, one of the power or the revelation that helped me to embrace the Seven Mountain Prophecy comes out of Revelation 11 and 15. And it says, and the seven angels sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven, this voice in heaven, saying the kingdom of this world. So heaven looks and says the kingdom of this world below them are now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And one of the things that God showed me was just that, how that is an unfulfilled prophecy, and how we as a body of believers, you who are on this phone, the community of Laborers for Christ, the community of the church, will fulfill the power of Revelation 11 and 15. And I do agree with the revelation that has been shared, that one of the ways that that scripture is going to be fulfilled is through the Seven Mountain Prophecy, the kingdom of this world. So the kingdom, the world's family mountain, the kingdom of the media mountain, the kingdom of the education mountain, the kingdom of the arts and entertainment or celebration mountain, the kingdom of business or economy, they are the same, or the kingdom of the government, the kingdom of the religion mountains will now become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he shall reign forever. And so we do understand that we're not trying to get to heaven. We want heaven to come to us. That is an apostolic and prophetic mandate. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not waiting for a sweet by and by, because we have a current position. We have a current revelation. We have a current ambassadorial assignment, and that assignment is to bring the kingdoms of this world under the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we understand that how God and Christ, the Holy Spirit, does that is by strategically placing his people within these cultures. And you've been in these cultures all your life. And if you think back on your life, some of you always had a burden for family. You knew at a young age you wanted to be an educator. For some of you, you didn't want nothing to do with the media, but then you saw how your life came in that direction. Or some of you didn't want to do no education, and you look up and say, how did I get into education, and et cetera, et cetera. And it was God strategically placing you within these cultures and using you as a voice of influence so that you could fulfill Revelation 11 and 15. You will see the kingdom of that world become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or you were the farmer. You are the individual who God needed to plant the seed in those places so that the strongholds of those mountains, the enemy of those mountains, the principalities of those mountains can come down. And so when we, as a body of believers, when we begin to embrace that, we begin to understand our gift and our calling. And if you would invest in yourself and join CCTI, this unit, you will understand that we were talking about us being influencers and how God strategically placed individuals in this place as influencers so that one of their divine assignments will fulfill Revelation 11 and 15. So I'm going to give you a little snippet of what you're missing, so you can prepare for share your homework. But we talk about how these influencers are apostolic and prophetic influencers, is individuals who understand they are called to impact both the church and the marketplace. You understand that you're duly anointed. God has anointed you within the church, within the four walls. You play as a strategic and very purposeful role, but also God has strategically placed you in the marketplace as an influencer. Would you do the same? You impact the marketplace. You are there as a divine, under a divine assignment. You are strategically placed by God to change that culture, to bring that light. So what you're going to begin to see, what happens is, as an influencer, you are a container of power who is both relevant and significant. That's why some of your bosses love you or hate you. That's why, you know, like myself, you heard my testimony. I was on my job less than 90 days and got employee of the month. And people were like, huh? You know, God strategically placed me there as an influence. Every kid assigned to me has some kind of very high set, high problem, and my bosses, CEOs, people recognize that. So we also said that influencers are voices that impact generations. Influencers are the carry. Influencers carry the presence of God. Influencers break the culture, barriers, boundaries, and norms. And influencers understand that there is always a greater purpose. So when we look at taking scripture and when we look at even seeing ourselves strategically placed within these seven mountains, within these seven cultures of influencers, in seven cultures, I'm sorry, we are there as influencers, tapped powerfully and strategically to bring forth the power of Revelation 11 and 15. Take your assignment serious. Take your assignment as an ambassador, as a representative of the kingdom of God. Take it with humility, but take it serious and understand that right now, every moment, every morning, you clock in, clock out, you are fulfilling Revelation 11 and 15. You're strategically, divinely, purposeful placed to bring about this kind of change, to bring about this kind of influence, and to see the kingdom of this world. Let the weight of that assignment fall on you today, and may you go and repent for when you complain and like, oh, I don't want to be here. I hate it. And I'm talking to myself, you know, oh, I don't make enough. I don't do that. But understand that you are strategically there. And when that assignment up, just like Christ, they could not take his life. They cannot fire you. You will lay that place down and go to your other place of influence. So that is part of when we begin to look at these seven places of influence. When we begin to think about these seven mountains, that is one of the open mindsets I want us to have. I want us to see us fulfilling Revelation 11 and 15, see us filling Amos 7 and 8. Surely God's not going to do anything. Some of you have planted seeds in your places of influences, and they're doing it now. They are living those places up. I always think about our apostle before she was an apostle, one of the first places she planted here, and you've heard us say it, was St. Agnes. God strategically put her there, set her there. And when that ministry got in place, now here she is a director of this nursing home. She set this ministry in place, and then God told her to quit apostolically. And here, 24, 25 years later, that influence is still happening. We know that it's happening through Pastor Connie Henderson, Prophet Connie Henderson. That influence is still there. Pastor Connie Henderson connect with some other people. Other people are coming down and being a part. But that was God strategically placed. Put her in that mountain. Put her in that business mountain, that economy mountain. And that place of ministry is still going on. It is the only ministry that has lasted over the time. So we weren't the only person in there, but we're the only people as a body who that ministry has lasted. So I know some of you are excited to share your life work. So we definitely want to open up the line and invite you to share with us. Don't all jump at once. We're community. We're family. We want to hear what the Lord says,
Prophet,
to you.
Can you please repeat the question? I'm sorry. Can you please repeat the question, Prophet?
There was life work assigned on last week. You were supposed to take some scriptures and look at them within the seven mountain influence. Correct, right, Overseer? I wasn't on last week, but I did get the announcement. So if you were on last week, you heard that assignment, and that burden fell on you, and you are ready to influence us, to take us to that next level. Let's do it.
Your phone is off mute. Who want to do share their homework now? Let's go. Let's do it. Who want to be transparent and say, I didn't do my homework?
I didn't do my homework.
All right. I appreciate you.
I forgot in the shuffle.
Say that again.
I forgot in the shuffle of the week.
Okay.
This is Apostle KP, and I haven't been on for a couple of Wednesdays, so I was trying to hear exactly. I'm playing catch up.
Okay. All right.
So, Prophet, what was your take?
What was my take? I just shared my take. No. Well, so you know, again, I was not on last week either, but we can look at a scripture. We can, if we need to do life work together, let's look at a scripture and let's make this a community conversation. So as I was just, you know, as I was talking with Apostle, one of the things that, you know, from what I received from the homework is us looking at and really began to strategically see how we can play in this place of influence as we can begin to see ourselves. So one of the things that we are doing on Monday, we looked at seven biblical influencers, and we talked about, we assigned them to a mountain, and we looked at how they begin to operate within that seven mountain. And when you look, so for example, the family mountain, the enemy on that mountain is the Jebusite, which represents rejection. The principality on that mountain is Baal, which represents perversion. And the significant authority in that mountain is pastors. And so one of the mindsets that we are teaching on Monday is to begin to look at scripture or look at that influencer and see, can you see that pastoral call on them? Let's identify how rejection, if they were in a family mountain, rose up. Let's look at what levels of perversion can happen and see how that goes forward. So if we want, let's do that quick assignment real quick. So let's look at Acts, the 10th chapter. Let's find Acts 10. Let me get a volunteer to read it. It is worthy of scripture, heavy, for lack of a better word. So it is a lot of reading. So it's definitely someone who doesn't mind reading. And let's look at that. And when we look at it, let's look at it. It's the story of Cornelius, who's a centurion. We assigned him to the family mountain. So keep in mind that the enemy on that mountain represents rejection. The enemy on that mountain is Jebusites, which represents rejection. The principality on that mountain is Baal, which represents perversion, and the significant authority who is strategically placed as an influence are our pastors. So when we look at Cornelius, when we look at Cornelius the centurion from Acts 10, I want us, as we're looking, let's say, okay, let's identify, do we see rejection? Can we see that? Can we see perversion? And can we see Cornelius operating under a pastoral care, and then let's see if the words show us how Cornelius is a family person. We got that? So who wants to volunteer to read Acts 10?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Acts 10, I'm going to choose an easy read version here. I guess it don't get any easier than the message. There was a man named Cornelius who lived in Caesarea, captain of the Italian guard stationed there. He was a thoroughly good man. He had led everyone in his house to live worshipfully before God, was always helping people in need, and had the habit of prayer. One day about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision. An angel of God, as real as the next door neighbor, came in and said to Cornelius. Cornelius stared hard, wondering if he was seeing things. Then he said, "What do you want, sir?" The angel said, Your prayers and your neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. Here's what you are to do. Send men to Joppa to get Simon, the one everyone calls Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is down by the sea." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two servants and one particularly devout soldier from the guard. He went over with them in great detail everything that had just happened and then sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as the three travelers were approaching the town, Peter went out on the balcony to pray. It was about noon. Peter got hungry and started thinking about lunch. While lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the skies open up. Something that looked like a huge blanket, lowered by ropes at its four corners, settled on the ground. Every kind of animal and reptile and bird and you could think of was on it. Then a voice came. "Go to it, Peter. Kill and eat." Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, I've never so much as tasted food that was not kosher." The voice came a second time. "If God says it's okay, it's okay." This happened three times, and then the blanket was pulled back up into the sky. As Peter puzzled, sat there trying to figure out what it all meant, the men sent by Cornelius showed up at Simon's front door. They called in, asking if there was a Simon, also called Peter, staying there. Peter, lost in thought, didn't hear them, so the spirit whispered to him, "Three men are knocking at the door looking for you. Get down there and go with them. Don't ask any questions. I sent them to get you." Peter went down and said to the man, "I think I'm the man you're looking for. What's up?" They said, "Captain Cornelius, a God-fearing man, well known for his fair play, asked any Jews in this part of the country, was commanded by a holy angel to get you and bring you to his house so he could hear what you had to say." Peter invited them in and made them feel at home. Verse 23. The next morning, he got up and went with them. Some of his friends from Joppa went along. A day later, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had his relatives and close friends waiting with him. The minute Peter came through the door, Cornelius was up on his feet greeting him and then down on his face worshiping him. Peter pulled him up and said, "None of that. I'm a man and only a man, no different from you." Talking things over, they went on into the house with Cornelius, introduced Peter to everyone who had come. Peter addressed them, I'm sure that this is highly irregular. Jews just don't do this, visit and relax with people of another race. But God has just shown me that no race is better than any other. So the minute I was sent for, I came, no questions asked. But now I'd like to know why you sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago at this time, mid-afternoon, I was home praying. Suddenly, there was a man right in front of me, flooding the room with light. He said, "Cornelius, Your daily prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. I want you to send to Joppa to get Simon, the one called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner down by the sea. So I did it. I sent for you, and you've been good enough to come. And now we're all here in God's presence, ready to listen to whatever the master put on your heart to tell us. Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. The message he sent to the children of Israel, that through Jesus Christ, everything is being put together again. Well, he's doing it everywhere, among everyone. You know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee after John preached the total life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. And we saw it all. Everything he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, where they killed him, hung him from a cross. But in 3 days, God had him up, alive, and out where he could be seen. Not everyone saw him. He wasn't put on public display. Witnesses had been carefully handpicked by God beforehand, us. We were the ones there to eat and drink with him after he came back from the dead. He commissioned us to announce this in public, to bear solemn witness that he is in fact the one whom God destined as judge of the living and dead. But we're not alone in this. Our witness that he is the means to forgiveness of sin is backed up by the witness of all the prophets. No sooner were those words out of Peter's mouth than the Holy Spirit came on his listeners. The believing Jews who had come with Peter couldn't believe it, couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on outsiders, non-Jews. But there it was. They heard them speaking in tongues, heard them praising God. Then Peter said, "Do I hear any objections to baptizing these friends with water? They've received the Holy Spirit exactly as we did." Hearing no objections, he ordered that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay on for a few days. The end.
Woo, good stuff, amen. I think that we definitely can agree that within itself is a powerful scripture. So this is where we want to begin to open up with dialogue, and let's go back and look at some of the things that we said, okay? So we definitely talked about the kingdom of this world becoming the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he shall reign forever. And so we want to see if we see that even happening in the day of Peter and in the time of Cornelius. We place Cornelius under the family mountain. So I want you to point out to me where you can see or identify that in scripture. We identify that the enemy on the family mountain is rejection. We identify that the principality is perversion, and the significant authority that operates within that mountain is the pastor. And we talked about influencers. So we said one thing we understand about influencers is that they are relevant within the church and the marketplace. They are containers of power who are both relevant and significant. They have voices that impact generations. They carry the presence of God. They break culture, barriers, boundaries, and norms, and they understand that there is always
a greater purpose. So this is when we want to now dialogue, and I want you to confirm or disagree or agree or point out, even once you heard what was read or was reading the law revelation that God shared for you. Can you see Cornelius within the family mountain to carry an influence? And according to the scripture we just read, what would be your verse proof?
Prophet, repeat that last sentence again. What would be your what?
What would be, if you could, if you had to prove it to me, out of Acts 10, what verse would you say, hey, this sounds like he was definitely a family man?
I would say verse 2 from the Passion Translation. It reads, a devout man of extraordinary character who worshiped God and prayed regularly together with all of his family. He also had a heart for the people and gave generously to them.
Yeah, there we go. Good dialogue. Yeah, team. Okay, so we are putting Cornelius under the family mountain. I agree with verse 2. The King James Version says that he was a devout man who feared God with all his house. So very, very good. So we definitely put him as an influence within the family mountain. Now, do anybody disagree with that? That's the next dialogue. Or do you see it anywhere else in the scripture? Okay, so all hearts must agree. So let's look at our next question. Our next question is, when we look at the family mountain, we look at this place of influence, do we see the enemy on that mountain and operation in Cornelius' life, the enemy of the Jebusites, which represents rejection? And if you agree and you can see that in the scripture, do the same. Give me your scripture verse.
I think that this is overseer. The mountain of rejection was indicated in what was going to be perceived to be Peter's response to this Italian man seeking his presence. They were Gentiles, and obviously Peter was Jewish. And when the Lord spoke, he said Cornelius stared at him in fear. And that's generally fear of rejection, fear of, oh, my goodness, you know, of being rejected, I'll just put it like that. And that rejection was dispelled when the angel said, you're in four as well, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before the Lord. So he is allowing him to overcome that place of rejection because he was a Jewish, he was Gentile and not Jewish. And he needed to, and God needed to use him to bring in the nation of Gentiles. Through Peter, who, when he was given that vision, said, oh, no, you know, I wouldn't touch that. And he had to be, what verse? as he started at about 11 or 10, he said he became hungry and wanted to something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell in the trance, and he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth in its four corners, and it contained all kinds of, and then he says, animals, he says, you know, get up and kill and eat, and he said, I wouldn't do that. And I believe that's when he received the revelation that the Gentiles were also being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And then when he, after his house, let's see, he says in the mirror, fight, we have come from Cornelius the centurion, and they keep giving him that title because that's like saying we keep coming from the African American house. You know, it is classifying him, the centurion. And he, and then, and yet, and then it says, but he is righteous and a God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. So that neglected the rejection, and he is now included as a part of the kingdom of Christ.
Amen. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? All right. Good dialogue. Anybody else? Okay. So we can see Cornelius as a family man. We can definitely. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So we can see Cornelius as a family man. We can definitely see how rejection played a part in Cornelius, and even within that the centurion, that whole household, that at one as we saw towards the end of the story, were all filled with the Holy Spirit, were all baptized and understood. How do we see Cornelius as a influencer? Not who did Cornelius influence?
I think he influenced Peter.
Yes, I just agree.
By
anyone
the
else? Yep.
And he obviously influenced all his family. And the people that he, his ministry was towards. And he influenced the Jewish people because they had respect for him. They saw what he was doing and they respected what he was doing and they respected him.
Very good. Anybody else?
The only thing, Cornelius was a man in leadership, and you know, though he was not a Jew, he believed in God in that way, and he wasn't afraid to show that before those that he led, and they still had respect for him, even in even in that place, because sometimes. You know, especially when you're new in Christ, you don't know if your old friends are going to accept you, because now you are you've given your life to Christ. You've changed some things. You may have to leave some people, some places, and things. But you know, Cornelius, you know, was a man in leadership, influenced those that he was in leadership that over, and they respected him in that place. So much so that, you know, what he said, they did, and it didn't seem like there was any backlash because he gathered them and his family together to hear what this Jewish man had to say.
Amen. And I think it is important for, I think it is important for us to see that. You know, Cornelius was acting, and it may seem like simple faith now, but that was bold faith.
You know, we look at the end of the story. Even the people who came along with Peter were like shocked. You know, even Peter himself says, "Well, what we do? They got the Holy Ghost like us too." So even for Cornelius taking this risk to send forth his people, not even really, you know, not, with this uncomfortability almost of knowing, and I want us to see that through the lens of our own eyes. And sometimes we may read it and it just seems like, oh, such easy act of faith. But when we think about the history of it, when we think about many of you who have to stand before bosses, have to stand before leaders and ask for your promotion that's overdue, ask for all of those kind of things, because God has strategically, divinely, on purpose, placed you within those realms of influences and those spheres of influences, there are times that you have to see yourself as what Cornelius did and take that risk. You have to take that risk because you were strategically placed within that sphere and God has a divine assignment upon you. Or as we said, influencers understand that there is a greater purpose and living in that place of greater purpose. You know, we said a couple of weeks ago at church when God blessed them, that word blessed is where we get our English word equipped. And that word equipped can be defined as fully equipped, abundantly full, divinely secure, completely directed, and fully furnished with an overflow. So we have to understand that when we are strategically positioned within those mountains of influence, when we are called to lead, whether it is through media, arts, and entertainment, whether it is within the family, the culture of religion, we have to go in knowing that we are fully equipped. We are abundantly full. There is an overflow, a reservoir inside of you that is waiting and needs to be released so that you can fulfill Revelation 11 and 15. You are chopping away, or you are sowing away within that world's kingdom so that it can come under the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those voices are ready to make that shout and that kind of declaration. And so as we prepare to come to a close, is there anything else before we get some final words? Yes.
This is Overseer, and I think an interesting part in this passage of Scripture are the supernatural encounters that are really miracle signs and wonders that had to happen in the lives of both sides, whether it was the people that's in the mountain that has the influence or the ones that were coming to influence the mountain. They both had encounter, and that encounter was a miracle. There were signs, there were wonders that were revealed to them, the intervention of heaven in their particular life, the person, not the mountain, but the person. And I think that's what helped give them the confidence of going forth, you know, because they had an encounter with this awesome angel of God bringing them instruction. And that empowers us to understand we've been chosen to do this because heaven came down and told us. And that has to be honored and it has to be treasured. And I think it also helps light the fire, the passion in us, and cause us to go forth in the same way. Peter, because he was a devout man, he followed the law, but God was perfecting the law, and it was a new wine, a new wineskin. And he took the people. I know you know the law says we're not supposed to associate with these people, but have we not seen the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives just as it's in our life? And as they say, so what do you think that don't you think then we can baptize them? So it's even pointing out the miracle, the sign and the wonder to the people, because they saw heaven intervene and heaven like put its seal of approval on that which was happening, thereby causing the old influence to bow down and to allow the new wine to flow in the Jewish people in a new way. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Anyone else? Amen.
One more thing, Prophet. I agree with everything that Overseer said. The part of the passage where Peter began to address them, and I can imagine, you know, the look on his face, because he was thinking, or he even said, look, this is highly irregular. You know, and there are times in our lives when we have those types of encounters where what we studied and what we've read and what we think we know, and then God says something different and asks us a question that changes the direction of what we're doing and where we're going. And, you know, even there have been times where, you know, we're even afraid, like, who is this? This doesn't even sound like something that God would say. But, you know, the direction was to follow it. And then when we follow it, oh, the magnificence of the encounter, you know, the full, when you look back at the fullness of the encounter, it's one of the most wonderful things. And it's one of the reasons that I feel like today that we don't have more biblical proportion type miracles that are happening, you know, because we're not listening. And when he says go, we're going where, instead of just getting up walking like Abraham, like Abraham did. Go where? We want to have the ABCs instead of just getting up and moving when he says to move. Awesome scripture tonight. Well, not we, me. I know I want it. I want the ABC.
Amen. No, when you said something, it made me think of what when we look at Cornelius, what the angel said to him. He said in verse 4, he said, all of your prayers and your generosity to the poor have ascended before God as an eternal offering. Now, you know, that wasn't even enough. He said, but now send someone to Joppa at once. Have them find a man named Simon the Rock, who is staying as a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. You know, so even when we tie in our Amos 3 and 7, 8, surely God won't do nothing. Apostle said it Sunday, and we've said it. God is obligated. God in his sovereignty is still obligated by himself, because of the law he put in place that said, I won't do nothing unless I reveal my secrets to my servants, this prophetic people, these individuals whose hearts are open. And so even through all of Cornelius' prayers, generosity, him being a devout and fearful man, there was still yet a level of obedience, a risk that he had to take. And let's add that to our list. Influencers take spiritual risks. They obey God in spite of how it feels, what it looks like, the unexplainable that comes. What was the word you used, Evangelist Katie? Started with an I, I think.
Irregular.
Irregular, no matter how irregular it is, really, God, you want me to do what? You are requiring what? And yet God understands. He knows the magnificence. He knows the power of it. We'll go back to what we said. God is bigger than Google Maps. He has the aerial view with your street view level. He sees it all. He sees the past, the present, and the future of that kind of effect. So I'm excited for us to continue to grow in this kind of Seven Mountain influence. I'm excited to see ourselves fully rising to the top of those mountains, understanding that we should be the best in our class. We should be, as the scripture described, Cornelius, devout, fearful, very influenced, reputable. People should have those same comments about us on our job, within our church culture, because we understand that God has called us to make a mark in this earth that cannot be erased. We are the impact and power of God who lives in this world to fulfill that Revelation 11:15 mandate. We will cause the kingdom of this world to become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. So I encourage each influencer that's on this line, continue to mature in your divine marketplace and sphere of influence assignment. If you've lost momentum, I decree and declare a wind of velocity to come upon you so that you may pick up the pace and God may press forward on you. I pray that you will begin to see instant, immediate manifestation. The Bible said why Peter was talking, the Spirit of God fell upon them immediately. May you begin to see this kind of sudden and immediate manifestation that you've not seen past. And as overseer so poorly out, may God connect you with all kinds of miraculous invitation. May people in other countries, may people in other places. Today I was sitting in a meeting on my job, and the Lord began to say through somebody else to me, God is going to bring your name up to the right person and launch you into your now season. So may God miraculously bring your name up as an influencer to whatever that is, whatever person, country, other influencer that is needed, so that you may be launched into your now season and impact the place that God has called you to. And for you Octomom and Octodad that are on the phone that have been given multiple assignments within a dual of those mountains, may you not try to figure out how you're going to impact the media all while operating in family. Just understand that God got you. It is well and it is good. All right, Overseer, do you want to give us our announcement? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory and honor and praise. We thank you for what you have and what you are doing. We thank you for the word that you released even on Sunday as we operate in unity according to the Hebrew with one another and oneness with you. May we begin to impact and continue to see the change that you have divinely ordained and orchestrated for our lives individually and collectively. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Prophet. Thank you for the word coming straight from heaven. We just want to remind individuals of the upcoming event this week on Saturday at 2 o'clock in your hand. By the Hand is the play. 415 Laramie Avenue. 2 o'clock, Chicago, is the play and the gathering for the Apostle Overton. It's a $20 donation, and today is the last day to get that in. You may want to contact her. And then Sunday is our last day of Inspire Sunday, 4 o'clock. Service starts at 4 o'clock. So make sure you tell those that you know and that come, and those that take transportation, the service starts at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall downstairs at Bethany Union Church, where we will have our final ministry appreciation gathering. It's a one, and with a 5:30 pickup afterwards for transportation. Okay, so that's
So definitely you want to be a part. You definitely want to be a part of the Praise Appreciation Fellowship Banquet. It is our first appreciation banquet. Come and sit with your apostle as she honors you for being a part. Come and be a part of this time of praise, worship, appreciation as she honors the gifts who serve and co-labor in the kingdom. We appreciate your assignment, your anointing that you bring to this house. And we are excited to fellowship with you, and we are praying that the presence of God is going to overflow you and fill you up through a time of praise, appreciation, and just good fellowship and good food with one another.
Amen, amen. And Prophet, would you like to share with them about the following week, the prophetic summit in our road trip to Toledo?
Yes, and if you definitely want to take a road trip to Toledo, then you want to come and join myself and Prophet Carter as we are declaring 2020 as the year of double blessing and full vision. And so we are moving forward in that kind of prophetic flow. It is our desire to impact and impart in you on November 2nd, God's year of double for 2020. So you don't have to wait to the new year to get your new year. It's going to start November 2nd. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I would like to encourage everyone to contact people. They should be on the line on Wednesday. A lot of powerful teaching is going forth that prepares us for our promise, prepares us for our promised land, prepares us for the influence that we're going to have in the mind. And so we want to encourage other members to dial in on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And then you want to remember that Tuesday is our church prayer fast day. So let us get into this fasting and praying as we seek direction and wisdom and the strategy of taking over the influences as we receive the blessing and the resources to do that through the move of the church. And so let us be more mindful of our fast day on Thursday. And then in preparation of the experience, and that fast day is on Thursday. Thursday's for the experience and Tuesday for the church. These are fast days. Grab a partner, grab an accountability partner, grab a member, grab someone, and then acknowledge our coming before and surrendering to God so that we will receive the wisdom to go forth. And then we want to remember the experience itself. If you have not registered, please register. Go and get your rooms reserved for truly, truly an experience. And so there are many announcements. We just encourage you to tell everybody you know. These are heralders that are sending out the good news of what God is doing in this soil. That's it, Prophet. Anybody else have any announcements, please share them so that we can get the word out. Amen. right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I can't wait to see you Sunday and fellowship and worship with you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he lift his countenance towards you and give you peace. May these next few days be filled with God's miraculous power. And may you come to church contagious on Sunday and we catch on fire because of your flame. So I'll see you Sunday.
Amen. Praise God.